We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For them to come out and be playing at midseason form, now I know it's the first preseason game, but that's what makes it so special.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What is up, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome back to One on One, a KC Sports Network podcast. I am your co-host, Mike DeVito, here with Big Jeff Allen, and we are bringing you all things Chiefs football from a player's perspective. Jeff, first preseason game out of the way. We're that much closer to the regular season. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about this time of year in training camp. But before we get into all of that, Cookie Society, man, break it down. What do we got? I know we've talked about it.
Listen, we're still in the month of August, so yeah. Everything's about the kids and getting back to school and making sure we're supporting those teachers. Yeah. But besides that, you know, we got some really good flavors. We got Dunkaroos, peanut butter and jelly, lemon sugar, cookie butter. The list goes on. Check us out at cookiesociety.com. We ship nationwide. Yep. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Cookie Society.
Get the merch.
Get the merch. Get the all merch. That good stuff. Make sure you check us out.
And Jeff, real quick, remind us again, what is the thing for the school teachers?
Yeah, so we're doing a, you know, buy a two-pack, give a teacher free two cookies, you know.
Okay.
You buy two cookies, we give away two free cookies to any administrator, any teacher, any educator. All they have to do is come into our store, show their ID, and we give them cookies.
Beautiful. I will tweet that link out with the episode today. Yeah. So make sure to get those cookies. We know our cookies, boy. Check them out. CookieSociety.com. All right, Big Jeff. First preseason game's done. Lot to talk about there. Played out the way I think we thought it would, but it's still impressive. We'll talk about that. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk about this time of year for a player during training camp, because honestly, I thought this five or six days usually after the first preseason game, going into the second preseason game, was hands down the hardest time of the year. Yeah. Right, because you get in at the beginning of, or the end of July, beginning of August, you get into training camp and you get rolling, you have the workup days, and then you're going, right? Then you're on the schedule, and it's just training camp, right? You get into what I used to call zombie mode. You just kind of, you know, same thing every day, let's go. But what happens with that first preseason game is now you get a 10-10-10 practice, then you get a day off, then you travel, then you're staying in the hotel, you're getting good food, you see your family, you play a game, you're traveling back, you have another day off, and then all of a sudden, whatever it is, Sunday night, Monday, that day after the game, you realize, oh, damn, I got to travel back up to St. Joe's because we got curfew at 9 o'clock tonight. Yeah. Oh, that – I mean, did you feel the same way? Because I was like, no, we have to go back. Like, you have to start the mindset again, the training camp mindset.
That's a really tough transition, going from being in camp, all out, full go mode. You play a game, and then you get that mini break. I think it's basically a day and a half. You got the after the game, and then you got one day off. And it's just tough because you get some good food. You're sleeping back in your king-size bed. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're like, I'm almost there. And then, boom, right back to camp. Right back to St. Joe in the dorms. And you got what? I think they maybe have about, what, about 12 more days of camp? I don't know.
Yeah, about five more days. So usually camp – camp officially breaks where you at least stay in Kansas City after that second preseason game.
Yeah, and so, this is the last week in St. Joseph. The final week will be in Kansas City. So
final week in KC, Andy Reid does it like, we'll talk about it, but that's like a regular game week amped up a little bit. But this time was terrible. And as a player, I always hated it when the preseason schedule came out and there was a long gap between the first preseason game and second preseason game.
Yeah.
Right. You got some teams, used to drive me nuts. Some teams would have their first preseason game and then like 3 or 4 days later have the next one. And then they'd be at, those guys be out of camp. But then there were some years where there'd be 6 or 7 days in between. And the short block was between the second and third preseason game. Yeah. That was, I couldn't stand that because the more days that are between the first preseason game and the second preseason game, meaning the more days you're up at St. Joe, the more days you're doing camp. And so this time of year, I also remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that first day back after the first preseason game in pads usually was a shit show.
It is.
Because it's just,
it's human nature. Everyone's waking up. Nobody really wants to be there. They're kind of slumped. They're like, man, we're back at it. But then once you get going, the second half of practice, everyone wakes up and everyone gets to it. But that's tough, man. The human mindset. I mean, you have to push yourself, and you got to make sure that you're kind of forgetting about those luxuries back home, those things that you're doing for the day prior, and just get back to work.
You know, this was one thing that helped me as a rookie, because Eric Mangini, and that, you know, back in 2007, the rules weren't anything like they were now, and you just didn't even – we'd go to the game and come back to the dorms. I mean, as a rookie, you couldn't do anything. You never had a day off. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was actually, in a sense, easier because my mindset was just, I'm just miserable all the time. I mean, this is what it is. There's no taste of the – like you said, the light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, I always hated it being at camp and watching commentators talk about – especially retired guys talk about, you know, I'm on the lake or I'm relaxing, and they're back there. But now I'm finally in those shoes where I can say, hey, you know what? Listen, I'm good now.
There's a lot of guys out here in Frisco. I still see a lot of guys training because I'm in the gym still a little bit, not doing what they're doing, but I'm in there and I see them, and you just see the guys before camp and just their whole demeanor changes. It's just like, oh man, you look like the saddest human being in life. Like you're going off to prison or something. Like, dude, it's going to be okay. I've been there, man. Don't worry about it. But I'm like, I understand, man. Good luck to you. It's a grind. It really is a grind. And just not just the physical grind, the mental grind. We'll get into it later in the episode on like actually fighting for your life and your job.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a grind. So mentally, it takes a lot of, I guess, perseverance.
It is funny. It's interesting that you get to see that in real time because I remember what it's like, but I'm up, you know, I haven't seen really any players. I'm up here in Northern Maine, so I haven't seen any guys going back. But I remember, and like I've said before, I always laugh when I hop on Twitter or Facebook and you see the guys so excited to be back at camp with the guy.
No, you're not. The true professionals, they appreciate camp and they know what it's for.
Right.
I can count on one hand the number of guys that I've played with that actually love training camp. Now, we all love football, but training camp is just
it's
supposed to be hard. It's to test you. And in some sense, some coaches and organizations, they try to, you know, break your will just to make sure they get the right 53 guys.
Exactly. Sort of a military mindset. Yeah, I've been through those camps. I know you have, too. Mm-hmm. All right, brother, let's transition to first preseason game. Now, I want to highlight something right off the jump. So it was, I think, minus a few little things, it was typical, crisp Kansas City football.
Yeah.
But what's really impressive about this, again, we talked about how this is probably the most important training camp of Andy Reid's era, given how young the team is. For them to come out and be playing at midseason form, now I know it's the first preseason game, but that's what makes it so special. For them to come out and be playing in midseason form on week one, with a very young group, it's just really a special thing to see. And yeah. it's just a continuation of, you know, Andy Reid doesn't have to change the philosophy. This is something that you know as soon as you walk into that building, that the system is set up for you to win. And if you get guys that buy in and you get good leadership, which they've always had, it doesn't matter how the youth of the team, right? I mean,
yeah.
How many preseason week one games have you been a part of? And I've been a part of a lot of good teams where week one just sucked across the board. Everybody. Yeah. Starters sucked. Yeah. It was just like everybody just kind of throw it in, get out there, get it over with, and you get a talking to the next day because, like, come on, guys, you got to pick it up. You know, but it's never the case.
I think it speaks volumes, like you said, to the organization, the leadership. Andy Reid, of course, it starts with him. But yeah. Patrick Mahomes, and I think one of the things that I was excited to see was what would this offense look like without Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
And I know Patrick, he's ultra competitive. He may not come out and say it because of political reasons, but right. He wants to go out there and show that, like, Tyreek is a great player, but this offense is going to be great no matter who's in it. And right. I'm at the helm of it, and I'm going to spread this thing out. And now he went 6 for 7 that first drive and hit 6 different targets. It doesn't matter. And he said it. He said it's going to be tough to game plan against us because you don't know where it's coming from now.
Exactly.
And it looked unbelievable to see it. They have a ton of playmakers, and like I said, this wide receiver group, it complements each other so well. These right. guys possess different skills. They do different things. They all play their role, and it's going to be fun to see.
It reminds me of the teams that Tom Brady had. You know, you have the Wes Welkers and the Julian Edelmans and the Danny mm-hmm. Amendolas. And it was just like, you know, nobody that by themselves, still a very good player, but nobody that you'd be like, oh, you know, here's the Randy Moss that we have to worry about. But when you get, you know, when you get somebody, when you get a setup like that, where you, like you're saying, it's deceptive. It's hard to game plan for because there's so many things that could open up now, so many targets. Whereas when you show up and you got Tyreek Hill and you got Kels, it's like, okay, there are two guys, right? Those are our guys.
Well, the number one indicator of a good offense is how efficient they are on third down.
Right.
And before, like last year, we were good on third down, but it was always Travis Kelce.
Right, right.
I mean, Tyreek would get in on them, but it was the Travis Kelce show on third down.
Right.
Now I feel like there's a ton of guys that are possession-type guys that can convert those third down plays. I mean, we saw on the scramble when he threw it to MSV.
Right.
Yeah, MVS. I'm sorry. I keep getting
that. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, we know.
When he got it to him, it's like these guys are going to find a way to get open, and they're going to catch right. contested footballs because of their big bodies. So I'm right. excited to see that too.
I was listening to Mike Tannenbaum talk about the offense, and he made some really interesting points. And he and I've heard other people say this too, but he says, you know, Mahomes this year is going from a shooting guard to a point guard now.
Yeah.
Right. And so he said, you might see you know, average yards per play go down, but he said, you're going to see completions go up and go up a ton. He said, and really just for the reasons you said, right? I mean, now you have so many different targets, you can do so many different things. So, well, you might not have that deep bomb all the time with Tyreek Hill. And he was also talking about how they were talking to Mahomes, and Mahomes was saying he used to, if they called a play, he wouldn't even really, if he saw that Tyreek had a good matchup, he's going to him. He don't even care what's going on. Now he's dialed back into the entire offense, right? And what's going on everywhere on the field. That could be hell. I mean, there is this sort of weird, almost paradox that the loss of Tyreek Hill may make the Chiefs' offense more dangerous.
It's going to diversify the offense because last year we saw Tyreek is obviously a Hall of Fame player. Right. But teams were playing too high. They were kind of taking away his special gifts and his abilities by getting deep, by double-teaming him, by keeping the safety over the top. And early in the year, we didn't really have a game plan for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously
– I remember that.
Exactly. We were struggling, and we figured it out. Now, that's what made it easier to let Tyreek go in the offseason. Okay, yeah, we'll be good. But his special gifts were taken away last year defensively by scheme.
Right. Right.
Let's go ahead and get some guys in here. Don't pay them all this money. Get some guys in here that can – you know, do well enough because we have Patrick Mahomes.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm curious to get your thoughts. When I was thinking about this point from an offensive line perspective, I feel like, again, I think about the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's and the kind of offenses that they played a part of. And, you know, there was a few years that Tom Brady had Randy Moss, but outside of that, you know, same thing with Peyton Manning, a lot of the setup, very similar to the way Kansas City set up.
Yep.
And you couldn't sack those guys and they could have nobody up front. I mean, I played some Peyton Manning teams that went to the Super Bowl that were just awful on the offensive line. Awful. But it didn't matter because stuff was coming out so fast that I remember even game planning for those games. The coaches said, look, a lot of this has got to be just get your hands up because he's getting the ball out in 2 seconds. So from an offensive line perspective, I'm not saying that this Kansas City Chiefs team is going to be exactly like that, but certainly things are going to be coming out quicker, right? When you're blocking up front for Tyreek Hill to get down the field as fast as he is, that's still a lot on the protection. Yep. Now, you know, it's going quick.
It's definitely going to be more quick game. And we have guys that can get separation fast. I mean, we saw Sky Moore. He converted a third down. I think Chad Henne may have been the quarterback. I'm not sure. But outside of that, when the ball wasn't coming to him, he was getting open. Mm-hmm. Go look at the All 22 film and look at him, you know, blowing past some DBs. So I'm excited to see him in the open field. And then the big surprise for me, I was thinking about another Justin this offseason that we drafted from Clemson. Not drafted, we got him, and he's a rookie free agent. Right. But we got Watson now, Justin Watson. He looked freaking amazing. I think he's going to make the team. He's going to be that fifth receiver, and he has speed, man. He can get down the field, and he made a beautiful touchdown catch in the preseason as well.
And now along those lines, I saw you tweet out that it probably wasn't a good thing that Josh Gordon didn't play, obviously.
Yeah, it was not. No, it definitely wasn't a good thing. That's one of those – I've been rooting for Josh his entire career. So just from a mental aspect, what he's gone through and the things that he's had to persevere through, some of them he'll admit was, you know, on his part. But you got to root for a guy that continues to work hard, remain humble, and try to, you know, give his absolute best. But him not playing is just – it shows that the coaches don't want to get him hurt for different reasons.
Because
a guy get hurts, then you got an injury settlement.
That's a good point.
That's just from the business side of things. Just
that's a good point.
He didn't get on the field to the second half. That's usually a guy at the bottom of the roster. And looking at camp this week, seeing the lineup that they have, he doesn't look to be that in the top five receivers right now.
Isn't that amazing that Josh Gordon is in the top?
That is great. But it just tells you how competitive this league is. And, you know, you have to, you know, appreciate it while you're in it because it's a constant battle and a grind every single day you're competing, you know, to win a job. And I think Josh still is a good football player. It just may not be a good fit for him. So I'm hoping he gets another opportunity if it doesn't work out here. But that's just how it goes, man. That is the National Football League.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. I got to tell you about one of today's sponsors, and that is Dave. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can be really stressful when unexpected expenses come up. Now Dave can help you get in and out of a pinch when you really need it. Dave is the banking app that can give you up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on your bills. Trust me, you need it in this economy. You can finally tackle those expenses that you've been stressing out and without any huge hangups, and that's great. There's no interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get their financial relief they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Here's what you got to do. Got to go download the Dave app from the App Store right now. App Store of your choice. It's everywhere. Use promo code KC Sports when you go download that app. That's Dave. Sign up for an extra cash count and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank you. This podcast is also brought to you by Trade Coffee. Listen, me personally, I'm not that big of a coffee drinker, but if I do drink coffee, when I do drink coffee, because it does happen, I want it to be the finest beans, the finest source coffee, because I don't want to drink any crap. And at Trade Coffee, they're incredible. They connect customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. There's one in Topeka that I've had. It's absolutely incredible. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns, and Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. So if you love to help out small businesses, you're going into Trade helps out these small businesses by getting you guys into contact. And I know, especially in this economy, you want to help out these small businesses as much as you can. And Trade Coffee sends you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters, small businesses, farmers who pay their prices to sustainably source their beans. And whenever your friends call you a coffee snob, or you just know that when coffee tastes really perfect, that's Trade's real expert coffee experts. They've got these over 450 experts and 450 roasts that they know exactly what to recommend for you. Because the truth is, what I like in my coffee is not the same what you guys like in your coffee. That's why they got the quiz to directly cater to what you like, to what you want in your coffee. And they will match you with the perfectly tailored coffee for you. And Trade delivers a bag of freshly roasted coffee as whole beans or grounds. You get to choose that. Personally, I like to grind my own stuff, so I like to get the whole beans. It tastes fresher. French press that stuff. It's delicious. You know, however you want to brew it, you can brew it however you want it. They'll get you the coffee. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee with more than over 750,000 positive reviews. That's incredible. Can't get that many people to agree on anything this year, any time. But right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off their first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/KCSN. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/KCSN and let Trade find a coffee that you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/KCSN for $30 off. Now let's get back to the show.
Let's quickly talk on the defense. There's one guy I want to talk about. That's Karl Lofkus. And yeah. Everybody talks about his motor, his coachability. You see him every day that there's a KCSN sort of video on Twitter covering training camp. You see him outside doing extra stuff with the guys after practice. And watching him play, I mean, you look at what TJ Watt has, you look at what the Bosa brothers have, you look at what the other Watt, obviously, what's his name?
You're just naming all white DNs right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's so funny you said that because I was thinking at this point.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah, that's.
Just keep going, man. Name them all.
Oh man, it's so funny you said that because I was thinking of that exact thing, and I said, "I can't say that." That's so I'll get in trouble.
Man. I'll say it, man.
Yeah, but that mold, right? Not necessarily. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that skin color, but that mold,
high motor,
man. Yeah. And so I don't see any reason why he can't be in that discussion. And again, I know it's early, but you know, high motor is one of those things you can't teach, and he really has that. And I think I had made this point before, but when I was out in KC, the coaches had done a breakdown of all the sacks one year. I think it was 2013 or 14. And one of these things they said was, look, a lot of times, 90% of the time, some high percentage, this isn't about hitting some really smooth move, you know, right off the jump and getting free. It's just about being relentless.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting after it. And when that's a natural thing, like Karl Lofkus has, I don't see why he can't be in that group of defensive ends that, you know, he has that same look.
He should be, and his play style and the way that he plays, he's going to be a beneficiary of Chris Jones. Chris pushes the pocket really well.
That's
and a guy
point.
With a high motor, he's going to fall into a lot of sacks. Not to say that he's not going to get them on his own because
right.
he looks like he can,
right.
but he's also going to benefit from having an all-pro, once-in-a-lifetime defensive tackle pushing the pocket. So he's going to make the quarterback – you know, kind of flush the pocket, and he's going to finish the play. You saw him chasing Justin Fields. That's
right.
A super athletic quarterback, and he made it look pretty easy.
Easy. And you're right. And then you got Frank Clark on the other side pushing things to him as well. So, again, we talked about this last week. I'm not too worried about the X's and O's and things like that. Having fun, getting out there and playing defense fast, and then just looking at the individual talent. I think that was one thing worth highlighting on defense. A crisp first game. That's over. We're back in the week.
We missed Willie Gay. I know it was a short series. Chris Jones did his thing, but Willie Gay was flying around.
Right.
And he looks like he's in midseason form, and he may be a Pro Bowler this year. I'm gonna say it first. This guy, he looks awesome.
It's so impressive that these guys are playing at this high of a level this early. And we talked about it a million times how this off season and training camp is so truncated compared to what it used to be. That these guys are going out there and playing so well. Again, speaks to the character and the type of guys in that locker room. Here's an interesting story. I didn't even realize this. I don't know if you knew this, Jeff, but the first 2 weeks of the offseason, right? So when the guys showed up in April, Andy Reid told Mahomes and the skill crew to stay down in Texas. You heard about this? I didn't even realize this.
They stayed out here in Texas and did their OTA lift. I guess phase one by themselves.
Mahomes, so brilliant. You can't have them on the field over there. So you said, Pat Mahomes, okay, you're our leader. Work on that leadership. Get the guys down there. Do your thing. And I mean, that again, and we talk about how this young group with limited reps is coming in playing so crisp right away. It's because of little things like that. That's a really, I know a lot of coaches that would never trust their crew to go off and work stuff on their own for the first 2 weeks of training. Just too much control, right? You're giving up too much control. It just speaks to Andy Reid and his ability to lead and to be humble and to let guys be themselves, be leaders, and trust them.
And the guys that they have in the locker room. I mean, I've been in that locer room, and Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, they're going to hold guys to a standard because they are not only the best guys on the team. Travis is arguably one of the best tight ends, or is the best tight end in Chiefs history to me.
Right, right.
I know Tony Gonzalez played there, but Travis, when it's all said and done, I think he might be the GOAT for KC.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is definitely going to be the all-time Chiefs quarterback and possibly the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, depending on how it shakes out for him.
Yeah.
So when guys are that great and they're working their asses off like they haven't made the team,
right,
you have no choice but to listen to them. And not only listen to them, watch what they're doing. So you can learn some things from those guys.
I was just laughing when you said that because could you imagine if Tom Brady goes and plays 20, however many year decades he ends up playing for, and thinks, you got to think nobody will beat that. And then right behind him, Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. It's Patrick.
You ever see the spotlight for 5 minutes?
Bleacher Report, Gridiron cartoon things.
Yeah.
They always get my boy Patrick on there.
Oh, that's great, man. All right. Well, let's finish up with this. So we were talking to BJ before we hopped on, and talking about this time of year and how we're starting to, and it's even, I guess it's even more so now compared to when we were there, given now that there's only 3 preseason games and stuff happens a lot quicker. But, we're starting to get the cuts. They're starting to whittle down the roster. You start to see how the team's going to play out. Like you talked about, Jeff, a tall tale sign is who gets reps, and what kind of reps they get during these preseason games. So, I know you remember this time of year when you're talking to guys in the locker room, and I've had guys come up, younger guys saying, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make the team. I don't know. I'm looking at the numbers. Talk to me about your experience, because this can start to be a difficult time of year where you got to be like, I didn't like to lie to guys, but sometimes you're like, man.
Yeah. Like older guys would tell me, thankfully I was a second round pick. So I had a little bit of leeway. But what I would tell any young guy that would have that conversation is, listen, man, like your film's your resume.
Right.
And you have to go out there, and you may not make this team, but there's 31 other teams out there. So make sure you go out there and you're putting your best foot forward, because someone's evaluating you. You may not work out here because of numbers. It may be a guy like me that was a second round pick, or a guy in free agency that they've made a financial commitment to that they can't let go. And it's just a numbers game at that point.
Right.
But if you're a good football player and you do what you need to do, someone's going to pick you up. Whether you get on an active roster or a practice squad, you'll have an opportunity to continue playing if you do what you need to do. So don't count the numbers. makes you go out there and put your best foot forward and ball out.
And I remember my rookie year, I was like, there's no way I'm going to make this team. We had a ton of vets, older guys, guys I could mention that people probably remember, but Kimo Von Olhoffen and Bobby Hamilton and Sean Ellis. We had Eric Hicks on the team. All stacked locker room. And I remember thinking, there's, you know, maybe I'll make practice squad, but there's no way I'll make this active roster. And, you know, and I, you know, but still kept that mindset that you're talking about, right? Every day, just go out there and work, right? I can't worry about counting, can't worry about who's here, who's not here. All I can worry about is my resume, what I put on the field. And I remember back then we had four different cuts. I believe after every preseason game, there was a round of cuts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got all the way to the last game playing Philly, and I was still on the roster. And I thought, wow, I might actually have a chance to do this. And that last week, right, everybody gets cut, and I was the only undrafted rookie to make the team.
That's awesome.
And I remember going in, getting into the cold tub, and in there was Brandon Moore, who was a great offensive lineman, and he made the team as an undrafted
rookie.
Yeah, oh, Brandon's the bet. He was incredible.
He was a D lineman.
He came in as a D lineman, then switched to O line, made the team as an undrafted free agent, made the Pro Bowl, played a decade in the league. I mean, he was great. Mm-hmm. You and him, actually, you guys remind me a lot of each other now that I think about it. But I remember going into the cold tub and seeing him in there, and he said, "Hey, congratulations. That, you know, what you did is pretty cool. Like, that's not easy to do." And coming from him, he had done the same thing. It meant so much. And so I guess you're right. I just want to echo your point that's the key, right? I mean, as these young guys and as an older guy, what you're trying to tell them is, hey, all you can worry about is what you can do every day. Yep. Are you getting better? Are you showing the coaches, you know, the best sort of version of yourself on that field? And not only these coaches, but if you're just in an impossible spot that you can't make this team, everybody else that's looking at the roster, everybody else that's calling Andy Reid to ask about you. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy's going to go to bat for you if you're a good player. We've good talked
character.
About that.
Good character. Be a good teammate. Good habits. Good character. Stay humble, man. Like my rookie year, coming into the league and seeing really good football players lose their jobs and sometimes never get an opportunity to play again, that really wakes you up and you realize that, hey, don't take this for granted. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. You're going to earn it. But make sure every single day, no matter what point you are in your career, you've never arrived. Tom Brady talks about it all the time. You got to earn it every single fucking day, because
that's right.
There's so many guys that want that spot. Mm-hmm. And there's so many guys that not only want it, that deserve it, but you're that guy in that spot. So don't take it for granted. Maximum effort every single day. Even those days where you don't want to do it, we joke about it. Right. Like, it sucks. You don't want to do it, but like, you understand and appreciate it at the end of the day, because you are in a blessed situation.
And you will regret it if you don't.
Yep.
You will regret it. I regret so much. And I've talked about how much I regret not putting in more effort. When you get done and look at it from the other side.
You put in a ton of effort though, Mike. Like, you're one of the guys that maximized your talent. You were an undrafted guy that made it in the league for damn near a decade.
Yeah. You know what it is?
That's unbelievable.
You know, I appreciate that, Jeff. I look back and there are a lot of times that I made excuses. There are a lot of times that I said, I don't need, you know, I'm with the, I got to spend time with the family. That was always, I got to spend time with the family. I've been retired for 6 years now and I see them 365, 20, you know, 24/7, 36. I mean, there's nowhere to get away from everybody. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
And I love them, but like, that was always an excuse. And I look back and wonder, like, damn, if I would have just really sold out. I mean, I sold out to an extent, but if I really would have sold out, how much better could I have been, right? What could I have done? Maybe I could have set my family up even better financially. Yeah. Maybe I could, you know, I look back at some of the plays that I had, games that I played. Maybe I wouldn't have played as poorly as I did some play or messed up on these plays. I mean, the point I'm just saying is, all, like you said, all out, all the time. Don't worry about anything else. The career is so short. Like, you and I spent a decade in the league, and how fast did that go by?
It was a blip. My rookie year through my final season just felt like it was over. Like, I blinked my eyes.
Right.
I'm the old guy now.
Right.
Like, that's exactly what happened.
I would die to have had that perspective when I was there. Because I didn't realize that. It seemed like it was taken forever. And Now I'm like, oh my goodness.
Such a short period of your life. I mean, and NFL, I mean, it stands for not for long. It's going to be, no matter, unless you're Tom Brady, you're not going to play very long in a retrospective of your life. You're going to be a young man. I'm 32 now. I'm about to be 33 years old, and I'm still young. I'm not young in football years, but there's a lot of life ahead of me. And that was
You're 32?
32, man.
You played 10 years and you're 32? When did you start?
I started at 20, dude. But I was fortunate enough to be in that position, and I maximized it to the best of my ability. There were times just like you where I wished I would have done things a little bit different. Right. But I'm really proud of myself and the effort that I put in and the work that I put in.
You were stud. I mean, you were absolutely
stud. The sacrifices that we all make. And I can truly say I never took it for granted. I never took it for granted. And I was able to thankfully leave the game under my own terms. And that kind of brings me comfort and peace.
I remember when I retired watching you play in Houston, and you just buried some kid. And I just remember thinking, thank God I retired. I was like, thank God I don't have to.
And I watched that all the time. I just was watching a rep of Chris Jones, Bull Rush, Joe Thuney. And Joe did an excellent job. But I'm like, man, that looked like it hurt, man. I just remember bearing down in my back. Just starts hurting, just straining. I'm like, man, I'm so happy. I miss it, but I'm happy I'm not in camp right now.
That's right.
Chris Jones.
That's right. I'm with you, brother. All right, Chiefs Kingdom, this week's over. On to the week two of preseason, and we're getting ready again. Regular season right around the corner. So much more to talk about. We'll bring it to you next time. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. Love you, brother. Chiefs Kingdom, thank you for tuning in to One-on-One, and we will see you again next week.
Go Chiefs.